and welcome to the show. I'm Martin Willis, your host, and we have a great show this evening. We have Jan Alexander, and he is currently in Paris, but he was from the French-speaking Central Africa, and he has written a book and paid attention to the UFO topic in Central Africa. We're going to be talking about that. Had his own sighting as well. And our blog this week is a 1977 UFO sighting by police officers in Flora, Mississippi, by Charles Lear. So before we get started, I want to pay tribute, because one of the things that has been a gift to me when I started looking into this UFO topic is to become friends with a dear soul, Lee Spiegel. And he passed away late summer. And yesterday, March 5th at 5:05 p.m. Eastern Time, Lee's ashes were launched in space. And so I'd like to play this this tribute for Lee Spiegel.
It's so good to see you happy for this time we had together. If it ends, well, that's the way it's got to be. But if you never find the right one that you want to love forever, you know you'll always be that one for me. So live your life and have a good time. Hope you'll always walk in sunshine.
Maybe the road you're on grow easier by the mile. 3, 2, 1, ignition,
run free.
And lift off. Falcon 9, go 6X, go transporter 10.
May the memory bring you back a smile. May the memory bring you back a smile. No one knows about tomorrow. Some seek joy and some find sorrow. But there's reason to be living every day. If you find yourself alone, don't be afraid to say you're lonely. Always walk in sunshine, and may the road you're on grow easier by the mile. Let your spirit run free, and if you ever think of me, may the memory bring you back a smile. May the memory bring you back a smile. Say you're lonely. You know I never would turn you away. You know I never would turn you away. You turn you never away. You turn never away. You know I never would turn you.
That's it. And by the way, I failed to mention, that is Lee Spiegel singing, by the way. He was a folk singer when he first went to New York. And he kind of fell into the UFO world and kind of stayed in it. But very talented folk singer, and that was his song. So anyway, it was a pleasure to play that. It's time for me to bring in my guest. Jan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Martin, and good evening to the audience. And just already, I apologize myself because my English is just correct. It's not perfect. I've learned English in South Africa with African-speaking people. So it's like a Chinese who want to speak French in Canada, in Quebec, you know? So... And sorry if sometimes I make mistakes and if I have a problem of grammatical expressions, just I wanted to say that.
Well, you certainly can speak better English than I can French, that's for sure. But no, we will be patient because I think you have a really good, you know, really good message. And I think what I'd like to do, if that's all right, is you yourself had a UFO experience, and could we start out with you talking about that? I'm sure that's what inspired you to write this book and to interview these people you did.
Maybe in North America you're more open-minded. I think so. If this is your reputation anyway in Europe, that you are more open-minded about this kind of subject. Effectively, I spoke about my UFO experience in two or three channels in France. It was not generalist channel, it was specialist channels on YouTube and on TV, because I wanted to stay, I wanted to be careful with that. For me, it's not a joke. For me, it's not entertainment. It's very serious. And I was born in 1982 in Gabon, in Central Africa, from a father who was diplomat, now he's retired. And my mother, she's still alive, but she's retired. My mother was a teacher of philosophy and piano. And when I was 3 years, we went in Canada and we lived in Ottawa. And I was in the suburb of Egg Drive. This is a big suburb, more English-speaking suburb. It was between 1985 and 1989. And yes, I saw through the window of my room. For me, I was a child, so it was a monster. Just it was a monster. It was a big gray head with a light above the head. For me, it was a moonlight, maybe, but. I was a little boy and just it was very scary. But I didn't know the word alien, extraterrestrial. I didn't know that. So time passed and maybe I wanted to convince myself that it was a nightmare. But this nightmare was blocked in my head. All my childhood and one part of my my teenage years. And later in 2013, in suburb of Paris, I came back from the west of France in car. I was not the driver, but we arrived in the suburb and I saw a typical flying saucer about a building, a little building. I was very shocked, and it was so strange and maybe so, it was a stupid flying saucer. And I didn't understand why me. It was, I was shocked. And after this observation, it was very, very, very difficult the following months. It was a long night of nightmares, strange nightmares. And I have problem, physical problems here. It was very painful. And I had the feeling to be followed when I work in the apartment. It was very strange. And sometimes I couldn't sleep. So it was very difficult to sleep. I take weight. It was really disturbing. One moment, I believed that I was crazy. It was very difficult to. To be, to see another reality in my reality. And I had to deal with that. For example, now if I walk in a forest, I have to think about the animals, maybe aggressive animals. I have to think about stupid hunters. And I have to think about a lot of things. And I have to think about possibly UFO in the sky. It's very strange, but before I didn't think about that. There is a before and after in my life, and after this UFO sighting in the suburb of Paris, it was in Passy-Palaiseau. I remember the gray head on my childhood. And when I was a little boy, I didn't want to see the dentist. It's a good word, dentist, for the teeth. It was very frightening for me. And after this UFO sighting, it was horrible for me because before to sleep, I thought that some people could take my teeth. So it was very disturbing, and fortunately, we have an association in France. This is CERO France, CERO, and this association, this is a reunion of psychologists, graduates psychologists. And people so-called abductees. And the work of the psychologist, they help abductees to live with that in the life day by day.
Very interesting. So the second encounter that you had, did you say you were in a car, driving in a car when that happened in particular?
I was not driving, but
Oh, you were
the
riding.
driver, yes, I was on the right, in the front of car. We were four in the car. The driver, of course, didn't see anything because he was talking with the two people behind me, and nobody see anything. And when I saw the things, I wanted to say something to these people, and I couldn't say anything. I was blocked.
That's interesting.
So for me, I take seriously testimonies of people. We must stop the stigma. It's very important. I don't think this is in the head of people. I think really it's my conviction. There is something else outside our humanity. It's place. Maybe there is various non-human intelligence, but I think there is something around us. I think so. And I can say that because we are in an American podcast, but I try to protect my family. When I speak, I speak about me. I don't want to put my family in the story because it's a lot of, but just I took the time to talk about that to my father 2 years ago. And I told him about this gray monster that I saw when I was little. He was not surprised. He was not surprised. I was surprised because he was not surprised. And he told me, you know, when I was a little boy in Africa, I saw the same thing. But my uncle told me that it was hallucination or dream. Yes, hallucination. I don't think this is a good word in English. It was not real.
Yeah.
But my father believed me. He was not surprised.
So, that's good.
This is a strange dilemma. This is very taboo in Europe, in Africa, maybe not so in United States, but I don't know. I don't live in United States, so I don't know how this is alive for people, abducted people, or just UFO experiences, because you can see just a UFO in your life, and it can be really impressive. It can be really incredible, you know. It's not necessary to have entities in your room or entities about your car when you are driving. But it's very strange, yes. And in Europe, maybe I could say since 2021, you have more and more experiencers who take the choice to talk about their experience publicly, openly, and they take the choice to organize events around disclosure. Before, there was a separate line between traditional ufologists and people who saw UFO. And sometimes traditional ufologists were not very polite, were not very cool with UFO experiences. Now maybe the situation is changing, but it's changing because the context is changing. And because a lot of people, serious people, I think, in Gary Nolan, but even Lou Elizondo, consider seriously the abduction issue.
Now,
just my point of view.
yeah, thank you. Just skipping around a little bit, I met some people in North Carolina back in 2012 that came over here to a conference, and they were involved in, I want to say it's called GIPAN or something like that.
GIPAN. This is the GIPAN, yes. This is the only official organism in France. French state, it's official, whose purpose is to register data and to analyze if this is, if the UFO sighting, this is a plane, or this is a balloon, or if it's something else. But this organism is very, very, very criticized in France. And because it's not he was very silent about, for example, David Grush.
Mm-hmm.
No, maybe they are terrified. They don't know how to react with all this event in North America. Because during a long time, it was like science fiction. And maybe science fiction is becoming reality.
Yes. Yeah, it was when David Grush came out, I think a lot of us, well, I at first, and wow, that's really quite the statement to say that, you know, we have, you know, the hardware, we have, you know, crafts. So yeah, I was really taken aback with that. But so far I'm leaning into the idea that it's possible. You know, it is possible with just all the people that I've talked to over the years. And, you know, some people I totally take at face value that they're telling the truth. And so, you know, I think it's very possible. I think it's odd that they could crash, but, you know, I mean, anything is possible. You know, they may not have the right, they may come across something they didn't expect, like radar. You know, that is one of the possibilities. Here's a question someone put in chat for you. They wanted to know if you had any type of communication with the
telepathic
visitor. You did. Telepathic. And what was that like?
In some mind. No oral, just in the mind, yes.
Yeah. And what do you remember what it was that you were, what type of message?
I didn't remember anything, but when I saw this object in the sky, I remember an expression like this: "You didn't really believe in this, so see, just see."
Huh? Yeah, that's really interesting. Now, so were at you? How long and when did you live in South Africa?
I didn't live in South Africa. I was born so in Central Africa after I went in Canada for my childhood. And after I went back in Central Africa, in Gabon, this is in the center of Africa. When you see a map of Africa, you have Gabon on the west. You have after Republic of Congo, it's a little country. And after you have the Bin Congo, famous Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo. But indeed, I was in South Africa in 2004 for the studies. And the object of my studies, it was a work about urbanism in South Africa under apartheid. It was I had to write about the impact of a political system about the organization of a city.
So let's the name of your book, I'm just trying to pull it up here. Is and I have it here, is The UFO Issue in Central Africa. And in that you are talking with, I think you had 15 interviews with people that had experiences. So I would like to ask you, was there one in particular that stood out as something really, really special, really interesting?
Oh, I don't want to. For me, all was really interesting in this book. It's a little book because it's very difficult to work about a French-speaking country in Africa. People don't speak easily about this kind of things. And anyway, you have a lot of taboo in our Africa. Society, not only about UAP, but a lot of social problems. You have a lot of taboo. But maybe I was impacted by the words of professor of university Lionel Igoumensa, who saw an egg with legs in the streets of Libreville, the capital of Gabon. And he was very shocked because he saw this egg with the legs, and this strange thing was walking in the streets and walking fastly. And later, I saw in ufologic literature, I saw other. I read other testimonies about UAP who seems like X. And I think it's interesting, very interesting.
So I have a there's a question here, and I do want you to talk about, some of the other people that you interviewed, what their encounters were. But here's a question here. Is your government revealing, and I believe Bambi is talking about, let's say, Central Africa. Do they reveal UFO incidents that are reported to them, or do they?
Unfortunately, Bambi, this is a big question and big problem in most of African countries, not only Central Africa. There is no official position from African country, African governments about UAP. No
I
official position. And there is no official organism. In United States now, you have ARO. Okay, I know that you have there is a lot of critics about ARO, about Shane Kirkpatrick. I know that, but you have something like that. You have the same thing in some countries of South America. You have GEPAN in France, and you have when. Even when it's not official, you have some organism, some structure. But in Africa, except South Africa, you have anything. Anything. We can think that countries like Nigeria could be. Could be ally of United Kingdom about UAP question, and we can think that a country like South Africa could be an ally with United States. You know, officially, South Africa doesn't belong to the alliance of five allies. You have Australia, Canada, United Kingdom, New Zealand. With United States, South Africa is not in this group, but we can think that unofficially, South Africa has contact with this group. It's possible.
And
But
yeah, go ahead.
yeah.
No, go ahead.
We must understand that. The actual situation is very strange for a lot of people. I know that some people in the ufologist world are very enthusiast. This is a good word. Very impatient. Impatient are very
Oh, impatient. Yes.
but. The situation actually is really strange for a lot of people. They really don't understand what happens when they know, when they see the videos, because a lot of people didn't get the information, even in France. A lot of people in France don't know who is David Rush, who is David Trevor, who is Ryan Graves. They don't know. But more and more people know. now. And as I say before the podcast, in last November, we have a historical big conference, like a symposium, during 2 days at the Sorbonne University. It's a big university in France, and you had Jacques Vallée, Christopher Mellon, Eric Nocher, Philippe Guillemin, with a visio conference you had Avi Loeb.
Oh, yeah.
It was a really big event in Europe. It was historical. But, and some media talk about this event. Some media talk about David Rush. But a lot of media, a lot of people don't know how to digest the information. And well, I understand.
Yeah.
And anyway, you have other problems. You have economical problems. You have, in Europe, we have problem with Russia, Ukraine. There is a lot of problem. So it's very strange, actually. This is the same thing in Africa, where you have a lot of problems too. So,
right. Yeah, you know, I mean, a lot of times here in America, when something happens, a lot of times I think, you know, that everyone should know about this. You know, when we had a congressional hearing on, you know, UAP. This last summer, it seems like that was historical, and it seemed like, you know, other places in the world should know about it, but not everyone is paying attention to this topic, you know.
Of course.
And so you're right. I mean, a lot of people you could mention, even at a UFO conference, they may not everyone knows, you know, what has happened in the United States over the last few years.
I think you can make more or less, you can make an analogy with the pandemic, last pandemic. When COVID was just in China, the rest of the world was not really interested. But when the COVID arrived in Europe and killed people, the Western country were terrified, you know? For the moment, the issue with, for example, the UFO experiencer, this is a minority. It's a very, in French, we say marginal. So this is very disturbing for some individual people in the United States, in Europe, in Africa. You have not really UFO mass sighting, which could change the situation, maybe. It's one people here. So there is no, for the moment, this is another question, but there is no real impact for the society. And again, it's like some other event in the history of our world. Pandemic in China, if it was just in China, it was not a problem for the rest of the world. But when pandemic arrives in other country, it's a big problem. This is our humanity.
Yes, it is. And it's you know, something that is a worldwide, you know, situation. A lot of times, you know, people will say to me, well, you know, do people see these all around the world? And there's been sightings all around the world, you know, since forever. You know, I mean, you hear about European sightings, you know, in the 1500s and things like that. But, you know, I mean, not clear of what they actually saw in the sky, of course. You know, being so long ago, but really interesting things. And yeah, I mean, for, you know, those 15 people that you interviewed in Central Africa, would you say that, how did you get a hold of them anyway to begin with, if they're, it's really difficult for them to talk about it?
First, because I'm Gabonese by my father, by French with my mother, but I'm Gabonese with my father, and I have a lot of connections in the Gabonese community in Europe, and I have a lot of connections with Gabonese people in Gabon, and now with network, with WhatsApp, with Facebook, with Messenger, we can have interesting discussions. It was the same thing with people from the Congo. And I talked with one people, and this person said, you know, you should ask with these other persons, maybe you get more information, maybe it could be interesting for you. And it's like this. It was during 1 year. I didn't make this book during 1 year, but it was a long process for me. I've begun to work about this in during the summer 2022.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And I finish in October 2023. Officially, the book was on the French original version was on Amazon just before the famous historical symposium at Sorbonne University. And after, my sister helped me to translate this book for English-speaking people it was published in January. I have to give you these details, that it's a first work. There was nothing about this in Central Africa. This is a part of Central Africa, because Central Africa is more bigger. You have Cameroon, you have Central Africa Republic, you have Chad, you have Equatorial Guinea, but for the moment I wanted to stay about three countries, because it was very, very difficult. But when you talk with people, you realize that they see the same thing that other parts of the world, but just most of the time they have not the same words to describe something. But for example, in Gabon, we have Isiki. Isiki is like a dwarf. Isiki is like a dwarf, and drive with long hair, and Isiki can immobilize you with a stick. Mm. You know? And we had the same thing in Finland, in the north of Europe. But just, for example, in the north of Europe, you have a dwarf, but around the dwarf, you have a light, you have a flying saucer. It's very difficult in the case of Gabonese society or Congolese society, because you have not always an object around a strange humanoid. You have just the humanoid, but maybe there is something around, but maybe people don't see this. We are just human. We live in our human reality, in our ecosystem. Even in France, I'm talking with you, maybe there is something about above the building where I live, but maybe I cannot see with my eyes most of the time. And one moment in your life, why? We don't know why. This other reality comes in your reality. It can be 1 minute, 2 minutes, maybe more. And it's like this strange story with the egg with legs in the streets of Libreville.
Here's another question for you. Have you or the experiencers that you interviewed thought about a desire for ET help in our planet's dire straits or frustration that they don't help? Is that something that ever comes up with any of them? I mean, some people think that they are here to help, but I don't know, one way or the other myself.
There is no special hope, and I have to say that for some African people, because African continent indeed suffered a lot with a lot of colonization, not only European colonization, but Arab colonization, a lot of colonization. And economical colonization too, from Russia, China, Turkish. And for a lot of Africans, it's just a new colonizer. So it's not really a good news for them because it's very. You cannot. For example, in Western country, especially in North America, in Mexico, United States, Canada, you had a lot of story about tall blonde people, tall blonde humanoid, and they looking from other worlds. Do you really think that tall blonde, it's maybe a big dream? For African people, when you see the story of African people, no, it's not a good news. You know what I mean? So it's not the same perception of humanoid. But you have to, like in the rest of the world, you have New Age movements. You have New Age movements. We can even talk about sect. This is yes, very popular in Ivory Coast in the west of Africa, Burkina Faso in the west of Africa too, and a little in Republic of Congo. They sell ribs. They sell a beautiful story, and some people like that, and some people pay for that, of course. This is New Age movements, but most of the time, these New Age movements are in some part, disconnected of the reality. And the complexity of the UAP issue.
Here's the, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead,
No, it's good.
finish.
It's good.
This is another question here. Are there abductions in Central Africa?
Yes. And not only in Central Africa, but in I think in all Africa, because after the publication of the book, I received a lot of message of people saying, "Yeah, I think it was really." This is one of the biggest taboo, or the biggest taboo in our humanity. United States, in Europe, in Africa. I was really surprised, honestly, because for me it was very difficult first when I wrote this book. And I have to say something. I wrote this book as a citizen of the world. I've any passion for ufology. It's not a passion. When you go in my apartment, there is no poster of movie about UFO. Independence Day is not interesting for me. Alien trilogy is not interesting for me. You understand what I mean? I'm not a geek. It's not a passion for me. For me, it's something very serious in my life, serious like other things, because my life, like your life, is complex. I'm not only an addicted. I'm Jan, I'm singer, I have a family, I'm father, I have a little son. I have a complex life. But for me, I act like a citizen. I think this is a big, big, big deal with our humanity, like artificial intelligence, like climate change. Mm-hmm. This is serious. I don't think it's ufotainment. I don't think this is entertainment. And indeed, in Europe, and especially in France, because I'm in France, maybe this is the same thing in Germany or United Kingdom. But after David Rush, there was a clash between people who consider ufology like a good entertainment. You know, it's nice. I connect to 20 o'clock about YouTube, and I see and I talk with other people about if it's possible, it's not possible. What do you think? Do you think? But when the podcast is finished, the life day by day continue, and for a lot of people in ufotainment, it was not really, in fact, a real deal, a real challenge, a real problem. It was like a fiction. It was, they couldn't think it was serious, because sometimes they say, yes, maybe we know the truth in 50 years, in 100 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what? In 2023? What happens? You have David Rush on a Congress hearing. What does it mean? Hmm. You know? And they prefer to criticize.
Oh, yeah.
David Rush, Gary Nolan, Lou Elizondo, Leslie Keane, Harry Redd. It's more easy for them because, in fact, they didn't take the time to have a thinking about the radical otherness, the radical alterity. What do you do if you see a radical alterity? And they don't want to think about that. Me, not only me, other people, we hadn't the choice. And it was very difficult to have a good discussion, a simple discussion with these persons. Because these persons lived in ufotainment, but me, I don't live in ufotainment. So when I write a book about ufology in Africa, for me, I give informations. I say to people, okay, how is it? The UAP issue in Africa actually, what we could say, it's more interesting. I don't want to make a infotainment.
There was a
I hope that my English is correct for the audience.
No, there's no complaints. You know, it's you know, you're doing a good job, and you're not talking real fast, so that's good. So they can, you know, people can understand. So rephrasing the question here, she wanted to know, do you think experiences say that ETs are here to help? No?
No, and even, for example, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, it's a sad story, very sad story, with a rape in a family by an entity.
Wow.
Very strange and a dark story. I don't think that a lot of African people have a good opinion about aliens. You accept maybe aerial phenomenon in Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe do you know Credo Mutua? Credo Mutua was not ufologist, it was a shaman, a sorcerer in Zulu, in South Africa. And he, of course, you have a lot of critics about Credo Mutua, but it's interesting what he says, because it's very dark about non-human entities. And in some parts, he said, because he's dead now, he said the same thing. He gave the same conclusions that other people in Western countries, in Canada, United States. He talked sometimes about manipulation of humanity by entities. And bad manipulation. So, for the moment, I haven't words of experiencer whose experience is really positive in Africa. For the moment, maybe I will have, but for the moment, I've not. And, you know, I've published this book, and I founded the UAP channel, UAP Afrique, on YouTube. This is a network. On YouTube, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, and on SoundCloud. And we realize podcast with Stéphane Royer. Stéphane Royer is French. He's not African at all. He's white French. And he wrote a book about the connection between the UFO sightings and nuclear.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And we realized podcast on the channel, and the first podcast was about the destruction of a village in Eritrea, which is near Ethiopia. It was in 1970. After the second podcast, it was about the destruction of a village still by a UFO in 1980 in Senegal. And the last podcast, it was 2 days ago, it was about the destruction of a village in Kenya in June 1954.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very strange. All the stories are very strange, very dark, very, very weird, of course. And we cannot officially say that it's alien people, of course. But now, some people in France have a theory that the UAP phenomenon one species of non-human intelligence have a good comprehension, have a good understanding, sorry, of our world, of our society, and they are more violent in poor country or not well developed country in Africa, in South America, but they act differently in Europe, in Japan, in United States, in Canada. This is just a theory, but it's very interesting.
Excellent. Well, we're at the end of our show. I want to thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure, and you're a real trooper, because I believe it's about 2 o'clock in the morning.
And yes. Yeah. Before to leave you, just I want to show you something, because it's really nice for me. You can see the original illustration.
Oh yeah, did you do that illustration yourself?
No, it's my mother.
Oh, is that right? Oh, you said your mother was an artist.
Yes, I asked my mother. And normally, it will be in an exposition in June, in July, in Paris. Work, illustration. So I wanted to show you, because I know that a lot of people like the cover of the book.
Yes. And I'm going to pull that up right on the screen right here, too. Should come up. There it is right there. Not a great picture of it, but you can kind of get the gist of it right there. And so anyway, thank you so much. It's been a real
thanks
pleasure.
Martin. Thank you.
Good luck with your book. And thank you for doing that work you did. It's very interesting. And you take care.
Thank you.
All right. Get some rest. Yeah. All right, everyone. So we'll be back next week with Geo Turner. I am actually doing a presentation exactly at 7 o'clock next week when we air. I'm going to be in South Carolina doing a presentation in front of a pretty large audience. So we did already pre-record with Geo Turner. He is a author. He lives in Hawaii. He's in the TV world out there. And has some really very interesting theories. So look for that next week at our regular time here at 7 p.m. Eastern. And remember to keep your eyes to the sky.